Hello, I'm Dave. I've been part of Philly for over a year now, and I'm best known by my full name, Heather and Dave. Anyway, let's crack on. I wonder, have you ever felt forgotten by God? Overlooked? Unimportant? Have you ever felt abandoned, even? Maybe you have, but you haven't felt comfortable admitting that to yourself, and definitely not to other people. After all, it's not the usual testimony you hear at the front of church, is it? Coming next, we have Brian as he shares his unglamorous, uncomfortable, and still unresolved story of feeling abandoned by God. It's the testimony literally no one is waiting to hear. And yet, it was my testimony. For over 10 painful years, I felt abandoned by God. In the midst of my decade or so of feeling forgotten, overlooked and abandoned by God, I wrote something. I didn't think it would ever be read by anyone else. I'm not really sure why I wrote it. I'm not a writer. It wasn't my finest hour. I didn't have anything uplifting or groundbreaking to say. I think I just needed to record what I felt like. What it feels like to be abandoned by the one that you need the most, by the one we're told will never leave or forsake us. Here we go then. Oh, and keep this between me and you, eh? The Lost Shepherd. I asked so clearly tonight. I've asked lots of times before. I was always told not to ask, but that was then. This is now. I wasn't asking for an uppercase miracle, just a lowercase, a teeny one. A shooting star in the rectangle of the skylight in my living room. It was a cloud-covered orangey sky at 2:34 a.m., so I suppose he'd have his work cut out. But I suppose it would have made it pretty clear that he was there, and it was him. I quickly moved on to the second option, in case my first request was somehow too much to ask. Maybe a warm feeling, or a gentle voice then? My faith is low, and I don't really believe something will happen. But I still believe enough that I ask for a nice experience and not a scary one. I don't need a shock and awe display from an all-powerful God to put me in my little insignificant place. I'm feeling pretty little and insignificant already. I need a hug from a dad who has been away for a while. You know the type. Those cheesy but wonderful videos you see online of parents back from military duty surprising their kids with their return home. I'm that little kid, been brave for so long without that vital person who should never have left me. I want that moment of relieved, angry, happy disbelief as I get the embrace that I so desperately need and deserve. You're home. Is it really you? I've missed you so much. Never leave again. But tonight, as with every other night, the skies are predictably blank and the room cold and silent. I move around a little, letting the domed window scan other patches of sky in case I'm looking at the wrong bit. Nothing. It's getting too cold for this. I'm disappointed, but not devastated. The feeling is familiar. I've felt this on repeat for years now. I wonder how long I'll keep a lookout for his return before giving up. I don't want to give up on him, but at the very same time, I feel how wrong way round that is. He's the one that's supposed to be always there and never give up on me. I'm supposed to be the wanderer. I'm supposed to be the lost sheep. Yet here I am, waiting for my shepherd to return home. Here I am, searching night after night for any trace of my lost deity. Another unsuccessful search. Maybe tomorrow. I doubt it. Now, I don't know how you feel after hearing that. You may resonate. You might want to rebuke my bad theology. But however that landed with you, one thing is clear. The feeling I had is something most people will feel in their lifetime, even Christians. Abandonment. And when you live in that place, it's messy, ugly, unattractive, and scary. The opposite of what a Christian's life should look like. As Christians, we can be rather scared of mess, can't we? Fearful of a faith that has struggles and doubts, more questions than answers. wary of voices that express pain and sadness, especially when those feelings are laid at God's feet. Feeling abandoned by God can also lead to feeling, or actually being, abandoned by your fellow Christians. It can be desperately isolating and lonely. There were crumbs of comfort in the midst of my anguish, and that was that even when people around me might have been repelled by my honesty about my feelings, Jesus wasn't. He isn't uncomfortable with honesty and real talk. He was pretty blunt with sharing his feelings on abandonment or distance from God the Father, wasn't he? Remember on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Makes you think, is he allowed to say that? Another source of solidarity were the psalmists. Of course, you get your "his praise will always be on my lips" and "I will be glad and rejoice with you" bits. But you also get the flip side. Why are you so far from saving me? Why do you hide your face from me? You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? This honesty of the painful experience of feeling forgotten or abandoned or overlooked is tangibly clear throughout Scripture as people wrestle with the very real and messy way faith is lived out. Now today, we're going to have just a brief moment to reflect on the story of someone that most people won't have heard of, never mind forgotten about, Mephibosheth. I think I've said that right. It's been a tricky one. We'll call him Meph for short. He doesn't get many words in the Bible, but his story is really helpful for anyone who has ever felt forgotten by God, overlooked, unimportant, abandoned even. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 9 if you want to. Meph's story started pretty cushy. Born into the right family, he was in the family line of King Saul. His dad was Jonathan, King David's best mate. He arrived on this earth privileged. His family were protected by a deep connection with the King of Israel, a covenant that meant that he would always be taken care of. Sweet. But the good times don't last long for Meph. 5 years, to be exact. He's only just started school, and he's brought down to earth with a bump, a horrendous one. His granddad and dad are killed in a war, and when that news reaches young Meph back home, his remaining family flee in fear for their lives. If this wasn't bad enough, as they're fleeing, there is an accident where Meph is dropped, leading to a devastating lifelong consequence. He is crippled in both feet, now disabled. And so he goes from royalty to refugee. Something to nothing. Someone to no one. Somewhere to nowhere. We find him at the start of the chapter in a place called Lo Debar, which means no pasture, no word, no communication. He's cut off from nourishment, cut off from connection, forgotten, abandoned, overlooked. Meph's name even means from the mouth of shame. I wonder what Meph thought was going on. It wasn't supposed to be like this. What about the promise of protection and provision from the king? That all felt so distant now, so worthless. Do you reckon he prayed for help? I bet he did. Did he cry out? Of course. Did he beg God for healing, for help, for home? So many times. And nothing. Well, not for a long time, anyway. I wonder what prompted David to ask in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Why now? Why was Meph forgotten for so long? We're not told. Same for us in our wilderness years. How long? Why so long? When will it end? We aren't told. What we are told in our story is that Meph is brought to the palace. But it's not just a day trip to the palace as a token treat. It's a restoration, a redemption. He has given his family's property and land back. And more than that, it's relationship. It says twice in this chapter that from this day on, Meph always ate at the king's table. That's some turnaround, isn't it? He's been out for so long. Now he was as in as you can get, a place at the king's table. What does this tell us about God and how can it help us? That's what we want to know. Is there any hope in the place of seeming abandonment? Is God really there? Does he really care? Here are some scattered musings and ponderings to finish. If you know someone who's in a place of abandonment and loneliness, or you're feeling that way now, it's not always Bible verses saying that God will never leave you or forsake you that will help. Sometimes those verses hurt the most, even though they're wonderfully true. The church full of people singing that you're never gonna let me down, can encourage the majority and still be a gut punch to a few. Does that mean we don't sing those songs? Of course not. But it might explain the person that doesn't sing those words nearby you. Or at least it explains the person who doesn't have an ecstatic grin whilst doing so. Maybe looking at the verses in the Bible that echo the feelings of isolation or abandonment are better. It's nice not to be alone in your loneliness. Lament is something we seem to have lost the knack of in our modern Christian culture. There are times when sitting in the Psalms of sadness and weeping is the best way to process and to progress. Let's get better at weeping with those who weep. There's not always a shortcut out of sadness. It might be some years before someone who feels forgotten by God will ever feel his presence and goodness again. And it might look different when they eventually do. What do we need to remember? Kindness, not judgment. Closeness, not cut off. King Jesus didn't just invite us to his table and wait for us to come to him. He left his palace and went to where we were, went to where the people were. Jesus is proof that we aren't abandoned or forgotten. I love watching Jesus go directly to the overlooked, the poor, the forgotten, the shame crippled, the lonely, the lost. That's why he came. If you read the Gospels, you see him go and eat with the people where they're at, a hillside or a house. He turns up at the door and invites himself in. Be like Jesus. Go to the isolated. Remember the forgotten. It was tempting to make sure I ended this little thing on some kind of happier, neater applications, but that isn't always how life is. My feelings of abandonment have definitely eased, and I'm seeing shoots of hope as I sense moments of God's presence again, but it's slow. It's painfully slow. And my faith looks different than before I went into the wilderness. I carry scars. I look different. And I'm still weary. I'm still wary. When you feel abandoned and forgotten, it can be hard to return when you're welcomed in. It can be easier to stay in your present place, even when it's nowhere and you feel like nothing. It can be really hard to trust again, even when it's God you're trusting. So finally, to those who feel cut off, it's not your job as a sheep to find your shepherd. That's his job. Don't be ashamed to feel how you feel. And I pray God will show his closeness to you soon. And to those who don't feel cut off, you will know someone who feels abandoned or forgotten by God. They're in this church. They're in this city. Just have a little look. Let's try and see each other and see where we really are. No shame, no guilt. Go towards those people, not away from them. Because if you draw close to them, they might just feel God drawing close too.